Today on One Song, the ultimate pop music dichotomy. It's a record that's simultaneously huge, but also very niche.
That's right, Tiala. The song we're discussing today went platinum in the US, platinum in the UK, and 10 times platinum in Australia.
Hint, wow.
Hint. One of the most impressive and astonishing things about this song is that even though it's that sort of niche, cool band, it's been this song in particular is in the billion streams club up there with Beyonce's Crazy in Love, White Stripes' Seven Nation Army, Hey Ya by Outkast.
And this is where the dichotomy comes into play, because those other bands you just named and those other songs, we know those bands. We know who they are, their lore. We even know their past lovers. But the band we're talking about today, chances are some of you can't even name the members.
It's very possible that you can't name a single member of this band. Well,
can't even
I'm
name
not sure
the
I
band.
Can keep this secret much longer. This episode, it's a song you know. It's Walking on a Dream. Walking on a dream.
Hopping lights blind. And a band most people don't know, Empire of the Sun.
Today, on this episode of One Song.
Shout out to US Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song, and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona!
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you!
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
I'm actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ Diallo Riddle.
And I'm producer, DJ, and musicologist Luxury, also known as the guy who talks about interpolation on social media.
And this is One Song. Luxury, how are you?
I am doing so well. I'm really excited to talk about this band today, this artist today, this era today.
This is another, such a fun era of music.
It's going to be one of these episodes where you and I have so much, we were there at the time kind of episodes. We have so much to say about it. It's going to be fun.
So, Luxury, when we were talking about pulling this episode together, we were talking about the fact that a lot of people won't know much about Empire of the Sun. Right. I think the short answer is that Empire of the Sun is an electronic band out of Australia made up of Luke Steele and Nick Littlemore. Before we go on a deep dive of Empire of the Sun, tell us a little bit about the scene that they emerged from.
Well, that's such a great way of setting up, because there's something about this moment. This mid-2000s, there was this moment where a lot of electronic and indie bands started to converge. A lot of the sounds of electronic music started to find its way into, for lack of a better word, bandy music.
It's the LCD sound system lyric.
Exactly.
We turned in our keyboards and we got DJ equipment. Oh no, we turned in our turntables and got band equipment.
That moment is happening culturally, globally.
Yes.
Because there's a pocket of the world, and that's what a big part of this episode is about. In Australia, where a lot of incredible music is coming out of what seems to be a common thing, a lot of bandy people, a lot of people with guitars and songs with verses and choruses, etc., start to incorporate electronic sound, specifically beats and production methods, into their songwriting. So these are song-based electronic music.
I agree. And I also think it's like really young Gen Xers and, you know, sort of like millennials, people who came up musically in the 80s are realizing, some of my favorite albums and songs from that period are, yeah, they're bands, but they're really focusing on this electronic equipment. They're,
right.
It's the synthesizers, it's the 808s. And so people who are in bands are like, I want to do something more electronic. And people who are doing electronic, well, I want to do something that's a little more rocking.
I think that's right. I think there's a lot of factors. I think another one, which I think we've scraped on this a little bit in earlier episodes, but really this is the episode to talk about Bloghouse, maybe for the first time. This is Bloghouse was a movement in the mid-2000s where blogs started, because there was a moment where posting MP3s kind of in the pre-Spotify era was a big way people were getting music.
Yeah.
This is a time when I was a blogger myself. I had a blog called discoworkout.com.
We're going to get into that.
And blogs were writing about and sharing all kinds of new music, literally posting often very lo-fi MP3s. You know, when a lot of people have in their collection to this day, DJs like DLO and myself, probably from this 3 or 4 year period, a lot of very low resolution MP3s of lots of remixes. 128, 96, some of them. Of this moment where music was understood to be, in fact, it was kind of a marketing strategy. It was like my inbox as a blogger was flooded with publicists from bands like Empire of the Sun who wanted to give away this music.
Yeah.
So this was this sort of moment. It's a little post-Napster. It's a little pre-Spotify. Apple exists, but there's a lot of MP3s as promotion taking place.
And you know what's interesting? I think this is one of the first scenes in the modern era where the scene wasn't completely geographical, because
right.
if you asked me where the heart of the scene was, I would have probably told you Silver
Lake.
Oh,
it's wonderfully international
people,
because of the internet, because of the blog.
Exactly, so international. There was a guy in Scotland I was communicating with constantly because he seemed to get MP3s really early. So the scene is global, but help us set this Australian scene in particular.
Well, I just remember as a blogger writing about a lot of the music that would come in that would strike my fancy, because I was in this position as a quote-unquote tastemaker. You know, I could only write about one thing at a time, and what really was scraping my ears in just the right way was a whole bunch of bands coming from Australia, just out of the blue. I mean, I can name a dozen of them, and some of them were Midnight Juggernauts, Bag Raiders, and of course, one of the most famous songs to this day that still TikTok has given it a surge in recent years is the song Shooting Stars by Bag Raiders. It's so many great bands.
So many good memories with that
song. That song, like, it's 20 years old, if you can believe it.
But the presets, this is a sweet spot for us.
Yeah, so such a sweet spot.
Great scene.
I'm only at the beginning of my list. I'm going to quickly go through a few more just because they're so major for me. Midnight Juggernauts.
Yes.
We had Chet Faker. We had Miami Horror. We had Sneaky Sound System, who are going to come into play in a minute. And last but not least, coming up around this time in the earliest songs, they weren't quite big yet, was Tame Impala. So Australia is exploding with creativity. There's a lot of cross-pollination, again.
I always forget Tame Impala is Australian.
Kevin Parker is an Australian man.
And you just said they. I always also forget it's one dude.
He's one guy. And so this is the Australian.
This is such a great scene.
Electro indie scene.
And you know, before we get into the stems, one thing that came up for us when we were preparing for this episode, a lot of people will confuse Empire of the Sun with bands like MGMT, which
right.
is MGMT, that oracular, spectacular album is really something really close to my heart. Do you think that MGMT goes in this category too?
I think it does. I think MGMT are right up there in the same world of bands coming from the band side of things.
Yeah.
The drums, bass,
the
guitar,
indie world,
song, indie rock world, bringing into their operation synths and electronic music and drum machines, etc., and having four on the floor beats at times, you know, sort of more dancier music. So there's this cross-pollination of genre, and it's definitely accelerated by, we forgot to mention, talking about Bloghouse, a big part of the blog MP3 thing is there's so many remixes happening.
Yeah.
There's the publicist thing I was mentioning flooding my inbox was, here's a bunch of new remixes from the blank album. And that's where you'd get the new presets, and that's where a lot of these bands became big. Pnau, which is another band from the
Australian,
we're
going to
be talking
yeah.
about them. They go right in the same category. This is two members of Pnau, one of which goes on to be in Empire of the Sun, is one of these artists that are remixing other artists, and that's how their name is starting to grow.
This is a scene and a style that we cannot talk about without referring to the fact it actually absolutely intersects with your career
right.
as a songwriter.
And this is
composer.
Not just in the abstract that I'm saying people remixed other bands. Like this is
that's
where
you.
This is where I'm getting my start. I actually had been in, I've talked to earlier episodes about how I was a musician, I had toured the UK, I went into debt, nobody liked the band. Like, it was like a great life experience that didn't lead to very many opportunities, except that when we came back, Bloghouse was beginning to happen, and my friend Jonatron, shout out to Jonatron, and I started a blog. And it was called Disco Workout. And this was the beginning of me sort of...
It was a great blog. I used to go there.
Dipping. Thank you so much. We would write about these artists. And I was dipping my toe into the blogging scene as a writer, as like, I guess, dipping my toe into some kind of journalism, but definitely DJing and also remixing. And I was absolutely starting to try remixing myself. I took on this new moniker. I became Baron Von Luxury, because I really wanted to mark myself as a solo operation. I had some fights with the band, and I was like not talking to them anymore.
Let me ask you a question. Were you going by Luxury before you were Baron Von Luxury?
I was Luxury before Baron Von Luxury. Uh-huh. I had a disastrous tour of the UK.
Okay.
When we came back, I was not talking to the bass player or drummer anymore, and I was just like, gonna do my own thing. I was like, what can I do where I don't need other people? It's kind of like the result of that. So I learned how to remix. I learned how to DJ, and those two skills kind of have, here we are today, like those are two of the biggest things that I started to, in that moment, learn how to do that became important later on.
And this music that we're talking about today, this sort of like, you know, dance-friendly electronica, if you will, like, did it have an impact on your sound?
It had such a huge impact, and coming back to Empire of the Sun, this might be the main band that I felt a connection with as far as this songwriting, but there's an electronic underpinning to it. That really worked for me. That's what I wanted to do. I mentioned a few other artists like Flume and Chet Faker. Those were sort of more DJ-centric. This is dance floor. It's got some house overlap. Like, you could play it in a house set, potentially,
totally.
Or electro set.
Yeah.
What I was doing was a little bit harder to be on its own DJable. You would need the remix of what I was doing to make it DJable. But I was very attracted to a band making dancey music.
I love that.
Yeah. What about you, Diallo? Walking on a Dream comes out in 2008, and what are you doing in that moment?
Probably canvassing for Obama.
Well, you were a DJ, right? Did you spin this
DJing.
Song?
Yeah. You know, it was an exciting time because, you know, I felt like the music that I like was like kind of becoming a little bit more mainstream. Not so mainstream as to be like, oh, I got here first, but like really like people were starting to dance to new sounds. And, you know, it was exciting. And I think about how easy it was to discover new music that I truly loved. You know, whether it was like Leaky Lee was like,
right.
You know, really big around this time.
That. Yeah, yeah. So you're on the blogs too. You're like scouting for new music.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The worst feeling was when you would go on a blog and you'd be like, oh, that remix is amazing. And you click on it and be like, you know, the copyright user has removed this link.
Z-Share. Like, takedown. Right.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. Z-Share. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Z-Share guy got like in huge legal trouble.
I've never seen Z-Share. It's been many years since I've seen a Z-Share link.
I haven't seen it.
Mediafire still
years.
Seems to exist, but I haven't seen You Send It in a long time. Yeah.
But it was a great time because everybody was sharing, people were remixing, and, you know, as long as you could find something that sounded decent, you didn't want to roll up in the club with all 128-bit, you know, MP3s.
Yeah, you could hear it.
Terrible.
You could tell.
You could tell.
It's noticeable.
But, you know, anytime you could roll up there with 320,
yeah,
maybe 256,
you're in
business. Were good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a good time, and it was a dance party. That was when I was DJing at places like the Standard Hotels, Shortstop in Echo Park. And it was like sort of the height of the hipster movement.
And are you playing all these bands? Are you playing all
these? I'm playing all these
Australian electro bands.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Class 6 was like a big remixer at the time. And
LA guys.
You know, Psychic City was a big
that
was
a yacht
song.
The yacht classics remix of a yacht song, right?
Phoenix, Listomania. You know, like everybody was wearing American Apparel. All the girls had on,
all
you
the
know,
cliches are
headbands.
True.
I will say one of my favorite stories from this period, and it shows the cross-pollination of so many different genres, was, you know, as I remember it, Steve Aoki might have signed Kid Cudi. This is before Kid Cudi's Kid Cudi. And he brought him out at the big Sunday night promotion. And it was a crazy night. Lindsay Lohan was there. And me and my friends were just there because we were like, we heard there was this dude who had Kanye's ear named Kid Cudi. And he got out there and he performed Day and Night.
I was just going to ask.
And it was the first time I had ever heard Day and Night. Day and Night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone. Some things will never change. wasn't on the radio yet. Definitely was before the Crookers remix
right.
that took the world by storm.
Absolutely exploded,
and it was
yeah.
just like the dance kids
Crookers,
were hanging with the hip-hop
God.
Kids
yeah,
and the rock kids were hanging with the dance kids, and it was crazy and it was wild.
But that's a super important, like, relevant, that this cross-pollination, it's black kids, it's white kids, it's rock, it's hip-hop, it's dance beats.
Everybody
it's all happening.
There.
And the fact that it's freely accessible... The fact this is, again, pre-Spotify, even pre-YouTube, really. Like, you're not really... YouTube existed,
yeah,
but barely.
Yeah.
Your ability to have the music, though, and to share it and trade it, I think it's a really huge part of why it becomes...
It was big, man.
Global
so
quickly.
It was so big. Before we get too into it, it's funny to think that the scene where I was at that had all this wonderful dance music and hip-hop influence and rock influence, like with the clothes, what did we produce out of that scene? LMFAO.
They were the big winners. It's
that
true.
That was the big winner.
They were the
they
big
were the
winners.
Ones who
yeah.
took it all.
They were the biggest bloghouse band.
Yeah.
The biggest bloghouse band of all time is definitely LMFAO. That's so funny. Yep. They nailed the formula.
They figured
they nailed
it out.
We're laughing, but it is a true story that they took the formula of kind of blending.
Think about it. They dress
the
like rockers.
It's the visuals. So much of it is
yeah.
like the American Apparel, Miami, the silly glasses and all that stuff. That was their thing, and they went to the top with it.
And they went all
to number
the way
one.
To the top. All right, so let's get to the story of the song. How did Walking on a Dream get made?
So let's talk a little bit about Empire of the Sun.
Yeah.
Again, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, not many people know that much about the band. They're a bit of a mystery. It's part of the vibe, actually, is sort of purposefully mysterious. Lots of makeup on stage and their videos, a lot of like visuals are a big part of what their operation's all about. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Empire of the Sun. This band began when Luke Steele, which is, by the way, one of the greatest names a human being can have. It is
was
his
he
real
born
name.
Luke Steele?
Luke James Steele.
What does mom name him?
Yeah.
And how hard is the J as like a middle initial?
Luke James Steele. Like, that's a masculine, manly
that's
name.
Crazy.
And then there's Nick Littlemore, who's in Pinnell, another one of those bands that we were just alluding to. Part of this electro scene, trading MP3s, kind of lo-fi remixes. They are starting to blow up, though. And
yeah, Pinnell I had heard of.
Now,
I hadn't heard of Sleepy Jackson.
Yeah, Sleepy Jackson, I don't think, quite made the jump to the electro blogosphere in the same way that Pnau did. But Nick Littlemore is in this band Pnau. He's half of Pnau. He is actually introduced to Luke Steele, and they write a song together. And this is that song. This is a Sleepy Jackson song, and it's called Tell the Girls That I'm Not Hanging Out.
Caught you in my arms together.
All right, so yeah, that's the song, Tell the Girls That I'm Not Hanging Out,
yep.
on Sleepy Jackson's debut album, Lovers. And I love this story. So like, after helping Littlemore out on his art rock project around 2006, they have a falling out.
Oh, yeah?
They have a falling out, and to hear Nick tell it, he says, I'm a very intense person, and I take things to heart. So they stopped working together.
Oh, damn. So they just weren't talking.
Well, yeah, they just...
Years go by.
Creative differences.
That makes sense, because years go by before they start working again. And around 2006, 2007, they get together, and they have another writing session, and one of my favorite songs of all time, I literally play this every third DJ set to this day, is a Pnau song with... It's sort of like the first Empire of the Sun song in a way, but
yeah.
it's Pnau featuring Luke Steele on vocals, and the song is called With You Forever. Go. That song just...
It's a great song.
Does something to me. There's
it's
something
a great
about
song.
This, the meeting of these two guys and the music they make together is just... I really
Luke's
connect with it
voice,
so much.
To me,
yeah.
is that... voice
yeah.
that you immediately know. Oh, that's
it's got
that's
so
him
much
singing.
Emotion. He's like a yearning. He's
yeah.
like lost. He's
oh
yeah. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's really wonderful. And I think you're gonna say something about the impact this song had on the rest of their careers.
Completely. Well, I was gonna say let's cut to the second part of the song because this is an important dynamic that they set up in this moment with this song. Is the verse that sounds like that with regular voice, and then in the chorus he goes into his falsetto. I just find this so haunting. I'm literally getting chills in the room. Granted, it's very cold in here.
I was going to say, that's the temperature.
But yes, there's just something that really cuts to the core of Blake Robin, of luxury as a person.
A lot of people, I think something that's said incorrectly about dance music is that there's something cold and sterile about it. Mm-hmm. But there's, if you let it in,
yeah,
you'll get the chills. And I think that, I think you're probably going to mention something about Elton.
Yeah, Sir Elton John. Elton. He plays a part in this story.
And, Sir Elton knows a song that can give you chills
so
when he hears
perfect
it.
Segue, because this is from Pnau's 2007 album, which is called Pnau. This song caught the attention of a gentleman named Reginald Kenneth Dwight.
Who the hell is that?
Now, you may know him as Sir Elton Hercules
Ooh,
John.
Ooh, I would have thought Reginald Kenneth Dwight was the dude who grew up on my block in Atlanta.
Elton John heard this record and said it was the greatest record he had heard in 10 years.
Damn.
And he signed them to a management deal. And that was the beginning of a very close relationship where sort of acting as like a protege, whatever you call the situation, really taking care
of them.
He's a mentor. The mentor is exactly right. Brings them into the fold, gives them some opportunities for exposure. And as we'll talk about a little bit later on this episode, gives them access to his STEM collection and to his archives to do creative things with. Again, which will come into play a little later.
But the good news is that the team is back together. Steele and Littlemore are working together again.
That's right. And there's a couple more people who are involved in the story that I want to make sure are included in the story. Because a gentleman called Jonathan Donny Sloan, who's in the band, who had been previously in Sneaky Sound System, another great band from the electronic Australian community. There's an interesting story that sounds like for a minute it was a controversy and then they cleared it up. So at the time, and this was back in 2008 or so when Empire of the Sun just began to exist as a band and their first songs came out, there was a minute where there was some tension between Luke and Nick, the primary two members who you see in the videos of the band, and this third gentleman who's a friend of theirs, Donny Sloan, who at the time claimed that he had basically had his songs taken from him, that they were intended to be remixes by Pnau. We were just talking about the Bloghouse culture. Yeah. I'm deciphering a little bit, so the good news is this ends in not acrimony, but they continued to work together.
Okay.
But for a minute, there was some confusion, and this interests me a lot, about authorship, about whose songs these were. It sounds as though Walking on a Dream, as well as some of their other hits,
We Are the People,
We Are the People, started life, some of the ideas musically come from Donny Sloan. So he had been working with Littlemore and Steele on their earliest projects together. And a couple years later, he heard the final product and was like, that's a little familiar sounding. There's something about my music that was intended to be a remix, but you guys have done something with it. and I've been cut out of it. In other words, he wasn't given songwriting credit.
Yeah.
They kind of had a back and forth. It sounds like for a minute there was some tension, but they sorted it all out. He is now the third co-writer on the song.
Oh, great.
It's actually a 33-33-33 split between Nick Littlemore and Mr. Steele and this guy, Donny Sloan. And the good news is that they figured it all out. He continues to work with them to this day. But it's just interesting because I'm going to read a quote. It says, I created these tracks on my own in 2005, long before Empire of the Sun existed. Musically, the template for Empire of the Sun is mine. They pulled the rug from under my feet, took my sound. I told Nick I didn't want him to use the tracks. I was hoping to save them for my own project. So it's one of these things that you just really never know behind closed doors how the sausage gets made. Like, who's the original? It's like the Sister Nancy episode. Like, well, did the bass line cause the drum beat, which caused the keyboard ideas to generate? Who is the originator here?
Yeah.
It's so elusive.
That's tough.
It's really tough.
And it can feel, I'm sure he felt completely powerless when these songs blow up worldwide.
That's exactly right. And I think I'm so glad that this story ends well, with the friendship being intact and there being a very reasonable solution, it seems, financially. And again, the fact that they continue to work together on the next two records, he's got co-producer and co-writer credits on a lot of songs after that. So
that's
that makes
cool.
me happy to, that
now
the song
you said
ends
that
well. Story ends
it's
well.
A three-way split, but there's a, that would be Steele, Littlemore, and Sloan.
Right.
What about the other half of Pnau?
Yeah, you're right. Peter Mays is the other half of Pnau. He's Littlemore's collaborator in that band. He's actually not on Walking on a Dream, but he is on a number of the other songs on the album. He is also given a co-writer. And we've basically named the four main people in the band.
Nexus, yeah.
Right. Even though we only ever really see two of them in the videos and such, there's really four people making this music.
Can I come up with a theory live on the air?
Please do.
Pnau is P-N-A-U.
And I have no idea what that means, by the way.
I think it's Peter, Nick,
what?
Australia.
Shut the fuck up.
That is my theory. I'm going to ride
with that.
That's
a brilliant idea. I mean, I can't think of anything
better. I'm sure we can look it up. But you know what? For once, let's not look it up on the internet.
What else could it be? It's just this weird sound.
I don't think it's coincidence.
In French, pneu means tire. That's what I, whenever I see pneu, I think it's like pneu, pneu, pneu. But that's a strange theory that I have, and I don't think it's anywhere near as accurate as yours.
Apparently, ChatGPT sounds a lot like cat I farted in French. So every time the French are talking about ChatGPT, everybody's giggling. Well, that's awesome. Now we actually know a lot more about this band that made this ubiquitous song. So after the break, we'll be playing some stems just for the thrill of it, the thrill of it. We'll be right back. Thanks to the U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Just like notes in a song, sustainable living is just a series of small eco-friendly choices that contribute to the melody. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on At Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Nexco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Nexco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome back to One Song. All right, let's get to the stems. We know what you people want. Let's play the stems. Luxury, what do you want to play first?
This is a wonderfully simple song. There's not a lot to play, but I will play for you the drum beat, and you're going to hear three different things. That's all there is throughout the entire song. It starts with a very simple beat. This is a programmed beat. I don't know where the sample source is. Doesn't really matter. It just sounds good. Mm-hmm. And then don't forget the iconic fill. Iconic, I said it. I can't go an episode without saying iconic. You don't need much more than that. This is a little bit maybe where that electronic thing comes in, because you could have a drummer play.
Yeah.
That sound wouldn't be that different, except the precision, the loopness of it all becomes hypnotic. And I think that's part of what electronic music does.
Well, you know, what's interesting.
So wonderfully, yeah.
I think it does it wonderfully. I also think that this is where the 80s influence comes in, because I like to like imagine that the song that we're playing on One Song today is not the song specifically when we're listening to the drums, because I'm like, what other songs have something similar? And my first thought was Erotic City by Prince, which is one of our favorite songs here. There's there's some similarities there.
Yeah, it could be the same limb drum, you're right.
And the kick.
It could very much be the same drum machine, the Linn drum that that Prince used ubiquitously. That could be, because that snare sound, the snare sound in an electronic kit that sounds real is so often a Linn snare.
Yeah.
That's part of what, it's so big and full and rich.
Nice.
Yeah, so nice. And then there's one more part to the drums. It's in the bridge. And just for context, I'll play the full song in that moment.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even recognize it. We are always running for the thrill of it. See? Less is so much
less
more, because when you hear it by yourself, you're like, whoa, that's stupid. But then it goes back to Ringo, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can't step on the groove. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, don't overdo it.
It's not being overdone at all. Well, let's move on to the bass. Very simple. It sounds like it's performed with all the like high-end EQ'd out. And that's just the intro. And then most of the rest of the song has this four-chord loop. And I'll give that to you. I'll give that to you with some drums so you can hear the context.
Yeah.
There's that little fill at the
end. That's great.
Do-do-do-do-do. I just like little fills like that. I'm going to play it isolated. It's actually a little flubbed, which is proof that a human played it, because it's a little bit...
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the mix.
But you know, it sounds like a hot, sweaty club with a low ceiling.
Yeah.
And like the band is... And there's like actually a band there.
Right.
And that's a cool vibe.
That's a cool vibe, right? So that's the rhythm section for the entire song. We've got the drums and bass that are doing that all the way through.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think they're doing it lovely.
Yes.
But I'm dying to hear about one of my favorite things. Is it a ukulele? What is that guitar that is in this song so prominently?
Well, let's listen to the ukulele, which is a guitar, but it does have ukulele-like qualities.
Oh, man, because, you know, there's nothing like a hard ukulele. I remember Still Dre,
you know what?
Dr. Dre, hard use of a ukulele. But, okay, so it's not a ukulele.
I don't want to take that away from you, but it's a guitar, but for Diallo, it's a ukulele.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much strumming that through the entire song.
I know, but you know what?
Song.
It's perfect. It's one of those things that's simple, but it's perfect. Like, you were playing that, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh, we could remix this.
Yeah.
Like, we could go in a completely different direction, but just use that element.
Right, right. Well, you know what?
I will see you after the podcast, sir.
The guitar part when it's combined with the bass and drums, I'll play that all together, and then I'll mention something I was going to say about it. And by the way, that is nearly everything. There's only one part left. It's this kind of loop in the background, which that'll be the last stem I play for you. But what you've just heard is the core of the song. And think about how minimal it is and yet how much space it fills up, but also how it acts as just a bed for that incredible vocal that we're about to hear from Luke Steele in a minute.
No.
So less is more. It's one of the themes of this episode.
Absolutely. Don't overproduce.
Last but not least is this, what I would say is a mysterious loop, a loop of mysterious origin. I wonder, this to me, when I think about the story of how Donnie Sloan's original, I don't have access to the demo. There really isn't any much online about this, I think, moment of disagreement, because they figured it out so quickly that there wasn't a lot of back and forth about it. There's just one article, like in a very deep internet search that I found, that there was ever conflict. My point being, I can imagine that this that I'm about to play for you, this loop, might have been either the thing Pinnell remixed from an original song,
mm-hmm.
or it might have been what Donnie Sloan's original idea was that they were inspired by.
I feel like we're like music archaeologists.
Love that. We're archaeologists.
We've just found a layer. We're like, is this the Roman city or the Greek city? What level is this?
We're exploring in real time. Let's listen to the loop on its own.
Iconic. They literally leave it the same, and they take it in and they take it out. They put it in and they take it out.
It's actually in the whole song, and it feels like it comes in and out a little bit, maybe because the bass comes in and out and the drums do that Tommy thing. I'll play that moment for you. But it is in the stems, always there. The guitar part is always there too. So that loop is happening the whole time, and it's so hypnotic.
Yeah.
I feel hypnotized by this song. This might as well be, we were just doing an episode recently about Doja Cat, Walk On By, with the loop in the background, the sample loop.
Yeah.
This kind of acts like a sample.
Yeah.
I think it's the band performing, and you could think of it like they were sampling themselves in a way. They were turning their performance into a hypnotic loop in the same way a hip-hop artist might do the same, a hip-hop producer.
I love this song. It would not be the song it is if it were an instrumental. We have to hear the vocals. These vocals are outstanding. Like you said, like when he's singing full out, you hear his yearning. And then when he turns on the falsetto, it's super sweet. So, Luxury, my friend, can you play us some exciting vocals?
Would you like to hear Luke James Steele?
Here. I would like to hear Luke J. Steele.
The dulcet tones of Luke J. Steele.
Walking on a dream. How can I explain? Talking to myself.
It's so pouty.
Will I see again?
Right? You have to do that with your face. It's very pouty.
Totally. You can hear.
It's very cranky
Walking
child.
Walking on a dream.
It's very pouty.
It's very punk. I feel like Luke comes from like the punk school of singing.
Yeah, of emoting with like.
But yeah, like
sort of teenage
a hard
angst.
Out on this
yeah.
song.
It's not even teenage angst. It's like 9-year-old angst in a way. It's like, wah.
We are always running for the thrill of it, thrill of it. Always pushing up the hill, searching for the thrill of it. On and on and on we are, calling out, not again. Never looking down, I'm just an aura, what's in front of me.
And then, of course, we get to that chorus with that gorgeous falsetto that will get, I'm preparing for the chills I'm about to have.
Is it real now? When two people become one, I can feel love. When two people become one.
So beautiful.
Now, I will admit, I've heard this song 800,000 times. I did not know what they were singing on the chorus.
Yeah, no, it does help to look up the lyrics. I think it's one of those songs that you get like a whole room full of people singing along when you're DJing it, and everyone's going, what's up there? They're all kind of like phonemeing it out.
The chorus is apparently, is it real now? Two people become one.
It's a love song.
I can feel it. Two people become one.
So it's a beautiful love song.
Now that you know that, I feel like it will hit even harder when, because, you know, we always say, like, it's more important to experience music than to study it, even as music nerds. But this actually makes me appreciate the song even more.
No, it's true. You can study it a little bit. It's okay to study it a little bit. It doesn't take the magic away. I think
every kid at the Berklee School of Music was like, what does he mean? What does he mean you shouldn't study music?
I'm turning off the podcast.
This is all I got.
And there's one more section.
Wait. Play it again. Is there a girl on the song?
It sounds like there's a girl. You know, he's married, and it could be his wife, because I know that they have like a lot of collaborative projects together, and it's a love song. So, you know, that could be, you know, symbolic of what the song's meaning is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never noticed either that there's
that sounds like a distinctly female vocal there.
It's like two voices, and it definitely sounds like...
It's like two voices become one.
Oh, what did you do? What did you do?
I just earned my paycheck.
It feels like it's part of
I broke down Panau, Peter Nick, Australia, and now I'm talking about merging voices.
So, a lot of theories, but it's a lot of mystery. So like there's a lot of mystery to the song. We may be pretty close to the truth for the first time after 15 years of this song being out there with not a lot of information about it.
They are named after the Steven Spielberg movie, aren't they?
They claim not to be.
Really?
I don't know if they're lying.
How's that possible?
they said that it's
they're
not
like, we're named Jaws.
I've got a quote about that, actually. They claim to not have been inspired by the J.G. Ballard novel, which was made into a Spielberg movie.
Right.
Nick Littlemore goes, we're traveling around the world, going to all the places of empires, of civilization, where sun has been a theme of worship. which could be...
Hey, listen.
Could be him getting tired of people asking the J.G. Ballard question, the Steven Spielberg movie question.
That is true. And by the way, the way they dress on stage with these gigantic, you know, elaborate costumes really does not seem to have much to do with Imperial Japan or World War
II. It could be a sun thing. It could literally just be about traveling around
Empire
to different
the sun. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Let's take them at their word. They're artists.
You know, I love Panau.
Yes.
But I do love Empire of the Sun in a different way because it is that combination of Panau and Luke Steele's vocals.
Yeah.
And then you said it earlier, he does have a way of like singing the verse and then going into his falsetto on the chorus.
And taking you to this melancholy place of just like love and dreams and sadness and poutiness all in one.
I want to play a snippet from one of my other favorite songs by Empire of the Sun. This is We Are the People.
Can't you?
That chord right there is so...
When it goes minor on that chord...
That's this melancholy, like, major seventh, I think.
That is the chocolate syrup
that's like a
on fucking, my that's ice
a,
cream.
That's a jazz chord. He just inserted a little jazz, a little major seventh to my ear, but it's a little bit ambiguous. That's what's happening there. When you... It is simultaneously kind of major and kind of minor. That's why that chord is so powerful. It's one of my
favorites.
It's
so powerful. I just love those minor notes that just hurt you a little bit.
They hurt you a little bit. They hurt
and, and this is another one where like I'm realizing I didn't know what the chorus said.
Yeah.
The chorus apparently says, I can't do well when I think you're going to leave me, but I know I try. But I know I try.
But I know I try. Okay.
For some reason, I thought it was, I'm going to try.
I thought it was, but I'm going to try.
It's, but I know I try. Are you going to leave me now? Can't you be believing now?
That's like, it's the line kinda, that that's
ooh, the
cuts
can't
me.
You be believing now?
It's like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs episode. That's what cuts me to the core. That line, that idea of abandonment and love being the same, like having that connection. When
Come
you
on.
Love someone, the power of that love is
Bring
the fear
it,
of the leaving. The fear of the leaving's right behind the love. It's always there. It's so funny.
I think what we're trying to say is that there it's always more powerful when there's an emotional connection to the music.
Yeah.
It's the same way in a good film. I would posit. You have a story with We Are
well,
the People,
I mean,
don't
this
you?
Song, the whole band, again, inspired Baron Von Luxury. This next chapter of my musical identity very much came out of an adoration of this bloghouse, Australian indie rock, electronic music crossover. So I made this record called The Last Seduction, which was about my friend who passed away, who took her own life, and her boyfriend who took his own life. All of that emotion, it's incredible for me to kind of listen back because it was many years ago. And I feel like I can hear all of that happening when I hear these songs. And when I hear that song, I hear my relation to my friend who passed away, who was like an older sister. All this to say that I wrote a song about it called The Last Seduction, which as you were playing that, I was like, Jesus Christ, I ripped the hell off of that song. But it is its own thing. Let's see if you can hear the connection. And I'll give you a hint. It's the acoustic guitar combined with the drums and the falsetto kind of takes you there.
This is called The Last Seduction.
This is The Last Seduction by Luxury. It is on Spotify. And here's the falsetto thing. Those days are gone, and you're still home. So there's so much happening emotionally for me.
I don't hear We Are the People at all. Are you sure that you
I know that you don't.
And
that's, that is the thing about, well, of course, I was a little bit being self-deprecating.
Uh-huh.
I was definitely influenced and inspired. And what I took from it was really very simply the idea of acoustic guitar strumming over an electronic beat, which, by the way, Electronic Light Orchestra, ELO, one of my favorite bands of all time. Mm-hmm. It's one of the a very common thing in their work as well.
Yeah.
All this to say that when I hear it now back to back, I'm definitely connecting the emotional content. This is a song about my love for a friend and them leaving me and that same kind of dichotomy of like love and loss all in one.
Wow.
And just emoting about, you know, at the time an inarticulate feeling turned into a song for me. So I'm just hearing it back right now kind of with some pride. Like this is not music that did very well in the world at the time. Not a lot of people heard it, but it's one of these things where I'm like, well, I'm glad I made it.
You know, I'm glad you made it too. You bring up, it's funny that you bring up ELO because I feel like ELO has influenced many different people in many different genres, but this one in particular, you can't talk about Empire of the Sun and Pinal without sort of bringing up their frequent collaborator, Lady Hawk.
Yeah.
And she said that, you know, she basically just always wanted to make an ELO record. And I'm just going to play a snippet of one of her songs that I love, which is Back of the Van. I mean, that sounds like that could have been a Pinal / Empire of the Sun.
Right.
/
Oh, I thought you were going to play Embrace, which is on
Embrace
on the Pinal
is
record.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Also Lady Hawk on vocals.
Yeah, totally.
So many of these songs have in common, like the swinging for the fences in the chorus, don't they?
You know what it is? I'm realizing now it is like it's a disco song made with sort of more modern electronics, obviously, but like with a real sort of rock Stevie Nicks ELO vibe. Like, totally. And again, I think that's a function of who was making it. Those were the songs that were out when some of us were in the womb.
Exactly.
And we're
right.
just trying to reproduce that sound.
Can I just put this out there? And because I know this is a shared love that we both have, could it also have some connection to this, especially that song Embrace? Right?
Yeah.
This could
the
be
more
Blockhouse.
Aggressive beginning of this song yeah. is what they are absolutely
this
doing.
This is so that's so Xanadu.
And that's when the muses are roller right. skating.
This
off
is
of
Xanadu
the wall.
With Olivia Newton-John.
Absolutely.
With the soundtrack by ELO with Olivia yeah. Newton-John could absolutely have been a 2008 Blockhouse. Yeah.
We're talking all
Australia.
Aussies.
That's Australia.
We're talking all
oh
Aussies
God.
Today.
There's the connection.
What better
I didn't even think about
way
that.
To talk about?
I didn't even think about that.
Better way to talk about. Panau and another song out of this camp that everybody has heard quite a bit in the past few years. Luxury, what do you want to say about Cold Cold Heart?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Panau kind of went secondary when Empire of the Sun blew up, but they've continued to exist. They've continued to have their relationship with Elton, Sir Elton. With
I'm
Reginald.
Gonna call him Reggie Kenneth from now on.
Reggie Ken, Reggie
K.
And just a couple years ago during the pandemic, they made a humongous song.
It was
they made
everywhere.
It's approaching, we just talked about how this song's in the billion club. This song's approaching 2 billion streams.
Oh, insane.
And the song is called Cold Heart. It's the Panau remix. It's Elton John with Dua Lipa. And what's really cool about this song and what I love about how it was made is that it is not just, it's a virtual duet, first of all, because this is pandemic era, but this really blurs the line between remixing, sampling, mashups and interpolation, because it's a song that uses 4 Elton John songs as kind of a medley, but it also has it's 3 samples and 2 interpolations. And to my ears, I just think it just is a song. Like, it doesn't really sound like the Frankenstein that I just described it to be. So quick story of how the song came together. This is Nick from Panau / Empire of the Sun. Again, with that Elton John connection, they had access to yep. all of Elton's archives. And Elton insane. Is a creative person, and he's like, do something interesting with this.
Yeah.
Well, he understood their creative process involved this fine line between original song creation and sometimes when you make a remix, you're like, you know what, this remix I just made, if I put a new vocal on top, that's a cool song. So clearly there's some understanding of that process that I think Elton really appreciated. Cold, cold heart.
So, I mean, he gave them access to so many of his songs. Yeah. Is Cold Heart, the name of the song is Cold Heart. Is this an old Elton John song that I just don't know?
It's not an old Elton John song, but it's got 4 Elton John songs in the mix. And I'm going to tell you how that happened. It's super interesting how all of these songs were interpolated, sampled, etc., into a new entity and put together. So it originally started when Nick from Panau / Empire of the Sun chopped up a vocal sample of this song by Elton John from 1989. The song is called Sacrifice. And again, think about how the acapella is being stripped from the mm-hmm. from the musical underbed.
Yeah.
That was happening in major, but in the song's context, that's underneath some minor chords, which totally changes the tone.
So it's not a sample. It's definitely an interpolation on Elton's behalf, correct?
That is the acapella from that song sampled and reused in this new context.
So Elton didn't re-sing it?
Let's listen together. I don't think so. That to me is a sample. My understanding of the story is that yeah. it came from the sample.
Wow, that's crazy.
And to my ears, that is when you just take the acapella out
yeah.
and you're not needing when the musical bed is gone, you have a lot more freedom. And literally,
sure.
in this case,
and
Cold
you can
Cold
pitch
Heart
it up and down.
You could do that, but they yeah. didn't. They actually kept it in key. But what's interesting is when he sings Cold Cold Heart, listen up to the chord underneath his major. I'll just play it for you. Cold, cold
heart. Yeah.
Some very major key,
very
right?
major.
But in the song, there's a minor chord when he hits that note. Cold,
cold heart. Yeah.
Right? It's really interesting how the context
changes
everything.
That is really interesting.
Everything.
And also, you'd feel like you just go to Elton and be like, hey, do you want to re-sing this?
Yeah, they could have done that.
But they were like, nah, we want
Elton's
we want
like,
that
no, Elton. Keep, but don't forget this is during pandemic times.
That's
so
true.
Part of the, like, I think mission of the song was like,
oh,
let's write
so
music
true.
Together, yeah. But we can't hang out. So take from the archives, take from the STEMS archives.
We'll
and
just email
creative.
It to you.
We'll just email it to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll email you a 2 billion stream hit. How about that?
What is the no?
Well, let's keep going. Here is where the song then went to Peter Mays. We were talking about him earlier. Mm-hmm. The second half of Panow, who added chords and bass. And for the chorus, he mashed up the verses from two different songs. One of them is this one, which you'll recognize very quickly.
And I think it's gonna be a long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find.
And I think you know what I'm going to say, what Dua Lipa did to that. Did she sample it? Or did she?
I think she interpolated it.
This is an interpolation or interpolation of that moment that Dua Lipa then.
Is that from Rocket Man?
That is Rocket Man.
Okay.
That's right. That's so originally Rocket Man from Honky Chateau, one of the best album titles of all time, 1972. And she re-sang it. So that's an interpolation.
It's an interpolation
of that moment. So we got an interpolation from that, but we're not done yet. And we're still in the chorus section. In the pre-chorus, Peter Mays took this idea from Kiss the Bride from 1983. And in the context of Cold Heart, it's reused like this. So what's interesting about that is that in the original song, Kiss the Bride, those two parts are about a minute apart, but
yeah.
Then they brought them together.
And they sound great.
And they sound great. And it's the original sample from the a cappella stem is Elton. And then Dua is re-singing on top.
Interpolating
it, yeah. Technically. So it's an interpolation and a sample at the same
time. I know,
time.
It's so me.
It's so cool, all of these different
so many
transformations.
Ways in.
All
yeah.
of these ways to transform other material and create something new out of it. We've got a couple more to go. We're nearly done.
You know what I'm waiting for.
And then the coda of the song, the sort of part at the end that comes in, is from Where's the Shura, a song from Blue Moves, Elton John's 1976 album. And I'll play that for you now.
Oh, Shura.
And I should say, there's five little moments that are used. That's one of them.
Oh, no.
That's my part.
We found it.
No doubt my part.
There
yeah.
it is. That's the one we were looking
no,
for.
No. Shura?
So what I just played for you in a row, those five elements happen at 3 minutes, 40 seconds, 154. They're all through the song. And then in Cold Heart, here's where they're used. They're just like little icing on top,
they
sprinkled
actually,
throughout the song.
You can hear them say Shura
yeah.
now
yeah.
that you know what that is.
Yeah.
Never was looking for it.
What's cool, though, is that like we've just been talking about like earlier about how looping and sampling, you'll often hear kind of an element become... As it's looped through the entire song, it becomes kind of hypnotic. These are samples used for a different purpose, which is just to add a little bit of interest, like something new that pops up and goes away that maybe is hooky, like it's the one you were excited to hear,
yeah,
right? But it
absolutely.
Doesn't happen that much in the song. And then last but not least, and this is pretty important, so there's this expression where there's a hit, there's a writ. As soon as this song started to get high on the charts, I think it eventually hit number one.
Yeah.
It was Elton's first hit in about 20 years. Someone at Defected
there's
Records.
There's going to be a lawsuit.
There's a lawsuit, yeah. So Chicken Lips is now cut into the song as a result of that bass line.
What year is the Chicken Lips song?
That's from 2000. And if you want to compare it, here is how at least the publishing negotiators, you know, in the conversation, they brought up this. It's the bass line, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure I'm crazy about.
Let's hear the Chicken Lips.
A bass line's a bass line.
You know, if I'm Chicken Lips,
yeah.
I might pick up the phone.
I can understand why they would make an effort to see what they can get out of it. Yeah.
That's not an egregious. You know, I always say this show is very anti the blurred lines decision.
Yeah.
And we want people to do what they got to do. That said, I understand why.
Yeah.
you know,
I can understand.
Get chicken
it
lips
too.
Off the phone.
So they get cut in. They actually get 20% of these millions of dollars that are coming to the song. So good on
them. It's a big song.
It's a big song. Okay, so now it's over 15 years since Walking on a Dream dropped. It's like we said earlier, it's been streamed over a billion times. Diallo, why do you think it's endured? What is so special about this song to you?
I think it's just catchy, and I think sometimes there are songs that are wonderfully... What's funny is that they sound simple, but nothing is this simple. Mm-hmm. And I think that those of us who like a good dance song, this was always like one of ours that sort of like made its way through. It reminds me of Doses and Mimosas is another one that came out, you know, within the last 15 years. There are always like a couple of dance songs that make their way through. Walking on a Dream, I don't think it was even big in the United States until it was in that Nissan commercial.
Right.
So it's just like...
Yeah, outside of the bloghouse community, you're right.
Yeah.
We knew it, but not everyone else did.
I feel like electronic music in general benefits from commercials and ads.
Yeah, that's right. This was never like a charting huge single at the time.
Days Go By by Dirty Vegas.
Right.
Days go by and still I think of you.
First time a lot of us heard it was when that girl was dancing in the car.
Right.
You know,
Feist,
like,
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, 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 you're changing your heart. Oh, 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 you know who you are.
Big hit, you know, with the ad community. And hey, no shame in our game, because at the end of the day, I think more people would listen to this. But let's be honest, terrestrial radio doesn't really support dance music in this country the way it's supported in other countries. That's why you got to listen to SiriusXM and Pandora, folks, because they got the truth. But seriously, I do think that, like, however people get exposed to music, whether it's because they come out and hear us DJ, or they're part of the culture, or they just hear it on a commercial, whatever it takes, I think there's something wonderful about a good pop song.
I agree.
Okay, it's time for one more song. This is where we share a new song with you, the One Song Nation, as well as with each other.
Let's do this.
Luxury, what song do you have for us today?
All right, I'm going to start out with Local Boy. This is Lewis Cole. This is from his most recent record, Quality Over Opinion. Multi-instrumentalist, multi-talented, very funny guy, a lot of cool videos. And this track is called Park Your Car on My Face.
I didn't see that coming.
Girl, I love that taste. Park your car.
I really like that.
Insanely funky
and
funny at the same time, but the talent is insane. If you've ever watched, definitely watch his videos. He's a sick drummer, sick drummer, like insanely.
You can tell even when the
talent,
even when the keyboard stabs come in,
exactly.
It's very percussive.
It's so percussive, it's so funky, and it's also funny, and really talented guy. I'm a big fan.
Awesome.
I'd love to hear your one more song. What you got?
I have a song called Straight Out of Newham or Newham. I think it's Newham.
Yeah.
And the artist is Berna. We've talked about Roy Ayers on the show.
I love Roy Ayers.
Love,
we got to do
Everybody
a Roy
Loves
Ayers
the Sunshine.
We're definitely
this
doing
song
that.
Samples Everybody Loves the Sunshine in a new
I
way.
I already love it.
Here it is, Straight Out of Newham.
Asking the op from there, never been pressured, still got diamonds, teeth and net both shining.
Bling.
Monthly spend, gotta check on my finance.
Check on my racks.
When the trap goes slow, the jug goes digital crypto Binance. So my young boy rise up early.
Hey,
in
up.
The band, though, I'm checking your timestamp. Serving up rice and beans, R&B.
Yeah, I like that one. I think I could have sworn I heard him say Newham. So I think I was pretty close to correct.
That accent, that like deep London accent, is so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
So fun to listen to. I'm going to go out on a limb, by the way, and say that I don't think that may not be a sample. It may be an. Pregnant pause. Interpolation.
Maybe.
I think it's a replay.
Interesting.
Yeah. It could be the real thing, but it sounds like a replay. But
we'll
either
do our
way,
research for the next
we'll
episode.
For the next episode.
One more song.
Absolutely.
All right. As always, if you ever have an idea for one more song, you can find us on Twitter. X, if you really want to call it that.
You don't have to say that.
You can find us on Instagram or TikTok. On Instagram, I am at Diallo, D-I-A-L-L-O. On TikTok, I am at Diallo Riddle.
And I am Luxury with two X's, L-U-X-X-U-R-Y, on Instagram. I'm also on Spotify under that name, and you can find the One Song playlist there. It's got every episode and all the songs we play
it's
on that episode.
It's got all the songs. All
That's
the,
right.
All the cursory songs, all the songs that reminded us of songs.
We put it all up there. I'm also on TikTok, LuxuryXX. And don't forget, if you're listening on the podcast platform and you like the show, please give us 5 stars and leave a review. It really helps. And share with all your friends.
Yeah. Luxury, why don't you help me in this show?
All right. Well, I'm producer, DJ, musicologist, and songwriter, Luxury.
And I'm actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ, Diallo Riddle.
And this is One Song. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
This episode was produced by Matthew Nelson with engineering support from Marcus Hum. Additional production support from Casey Simonson. The show is executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, Eric Weil, and Leslie Guam.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Exco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.